Good morning. God bless you today, beloved, in Jesus' name. Amen. I got some wonderful manna, some food for you today. Praise the Lord to chew on a little bit if you're hungry. If not, you'll probably spit it out or won't eat it at all. But praise God. The Word of God says, as we behold His Him with an open face, and this means that the veil has been removed. The veil was guarding the Holy of Holies in the Old Covenant. There was a veil. When Jesus died on that cross, that veil was torn and rent from top to bottom. And the glory of the Lord was revealed. So it is in the New Covenant. It is through revelation of the difference of the covenants. And in the New Covenant, there is a revelation of what the purpose of the old one was. And the more we understand the truth, the more that our faces are unveiled and we begin to see the truth. It's like, and it says it's like looking in the mirror, beholding the glory of the Lord, seeing the kingdom of God is in us, seeing what we the life we were created for, understanding it. But it says here that we, as we behold with an unveiled face, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are transformed. We are changed into that same image. We are changed into the image of Christ from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, this is talking about going from one level to another level of glory. Now, I've often heard this spoken, and I was deceived by this idea, and in a lot of ways, where I felt like it was in my head that if I serve the Lord, if I obey God, I pay my tithe, I sow seeds, big offerings, so I'll get a harvest. It was in my mind that I would always be gaining if I was in God's will, that I would always be moving from one level of success, whatever you want to call it, wealth, to another level. And I would always be gaining that 10 years from now, I would have more money than I have now. 10 years from now, I would have more success than I have now. And that idea being in my head thoroughly deceived me. And when I started going down at times, when I started going down, as John the Baptist says, I must decrease, but he must increase. When I started going down, I felt like something was majorly wrong, and I was frustrated, and I was disappointed in God, and then I was wondering what I had done to keep from moving to the next level. And there's and that was friend I and that was me. I was praying and fasting all the time, seeking God, reading His word. And yet the deception that is in the world, in the church, had crept into my soul. The Bible said we've got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That mind is our soul. That's how we are transformed, is by revelation of truth and the pollution that gets into our thinking processes. The devil has carefully orchestrated it. He's carefully planned it for thousands of years, and we only live maybe 100 years, naturally, if we're extremely physically blessed. And the devil's been around for millenniums. And friend, he knows exactly how to deceive a human being and how to plant things in us that will keep us from the true kingdom and keep us from understanding the kingdom of God. The Bible actually says that if we suffer with Christ, we will be glorified with Him. Now, I always thought that's like in the end. If I go through some persecutions here as I'm gaining and gaining and gaining, it's all deception. But, and some of this is true about going through persecutions here, of course. But I thought if I go through persecutions here as I'm gaining and gaining, that's the false part, then when I get to heaven, I'll have glory. But no, this is not just talking about what you get when you die. This is talking about how to go from glory to glory. And Adam doesn't like to hear this, but it is through suffering. It's not through gaining, it's through suffering. And it says that if we suffer with him, then we will be glorified with him. We are being transformed into his image and going from glory to glory. And there will be a finalization of this in the end where there'll be the full glorification. But it always works the same way. Through the suffering that we're going through here, we go from glory to glory. So it's not gaining more and more stuff. It's going through more and more battles as we learn how to lay hold of his life and to reject our own life and to enter into the fullness and the full stature of Jesus Christ, coming into the knowledge of Christ, his knowledge, and the faith of Jesus Christ, his faith, unto the full stature of Jesus Christ as we move from glory to glory. Now, let me bless you with this understanding of glory. I did years ago, we were in a discipleship class, and I learned to do word studies. I was like, I think I was 19, 20 years old when I first came to God. And I learned to do word studies, and I would study, like, for example, grace or faith. And I still have them somewhere. Like for grace, for example, I think I had 13 or 14 pages. I would go to everywhere the Word of God said grace, write them all down. Back then, I didn't have a computer, but I would write them all down on paper. And then I would look at every one of them and meditate on them and make sure that anything I thought about grace, another one of those scriptures didn't contradict. I wanted to know what grace was, and so I put every scripture about grace together and meditated on them together. Now, when I got to glory, glory gave me a very difficult time. When I did a word study on glory, it gave me a difficult time because I didn't really understand the definition of it. So whenever I started looking at all these scriptures I had written down about glory, they didn't compute with my idea of what it was. And so I had to really start praying and meditating on this word and asking God to reveal it to me. And it is pretty simple, but it's hard for our mind to get it because we have, as human beings, and I don't know, maybe in our English, I don't know about other countries, but we have all these different ideas of what glory actually is. And in the Old Covenant, the word glory is the word kabod. And it was a word that meant heaviness. It's the or weightiness, the weightiness. And the Lord began to reveal to me what real glory is. The glory is the weightiness of a person. It's the weightiness of their character. And let me make it very simple. It's the level of authority and power that a person carries. And he helped me to understand this when dignitaries, when kings, when a king walks into a room or a dignitary, there is a level of respect that they carry. If they are higher than any other of dignitary or any other king, everybody gets quiet and everybody gives respect, everybody gives honor to the highest one. And real glory is the weightiness of a person's character. And the Lord kind of used back then the president. I know these days, we kind of mock that because it's such a circus show out there. But he used the president. The president of the United States is the top position of the United States. And we should be honoring that position. And most people still do, even all the nonsense on the news and stuff. When a president walks in, most people are shocked. Most people give respect. Most people get quiet because of the level of authority that he carries. It's his position. Now, say like Jimmy Carter or Bill Clinton or whoever that used to be the president, when they're not the president anymore, they don't carry that same level. Now, they still have some residual effect of what they used to be, and they still are called president, but they're not the top position in the world anymore. And so there's a different level of respect. And when I begin to understand this glory, and we realize that Jesus was raised up and seated far, far is the important word here, far above, man, you ought to say it in Jesus' name, far above. He was raised up so much higher than any other king, than any other dignitary. There, and whenever we think of kings, we think of seats of power. That's how men describe it, a seat of power. And a king's throne is representative of his seat of power. Whoever sits on that throne demands the respect and the honor of all of those in that kingdom. And what God did is he sat Jesus down at the right hand of God. It's called the right hand seat. And that seat is the seat that is above every other king, every other dignitary. So the glory of God, the glory of Jesus is the weightiness of his character. And in the old times, in the old days, when a king would walk in, people would fall down prostrate. They would fall down on the ground prostrate. And sometimes you could feel the weightiness of the person who had entered into the room, especially when the person was extremely revered and extremely respected. You could feel your knees buckle when the person came in. It's the weightiness of that person. Now, God's glory carries a tangible weightiness. When we really enter into that throne room and see the King of Kings, no one will be able to stand up. It won't just be an act. It won't just be an act of worship. It will be the fact that the weightiness of who he is and the level of authority and the height of his seat causes us to collapse onto the ground. I'm talking about, praise the Lord. I won't even get into that. But the weightiness of who he is causes us to collapse to the ground. Now, what does it mean for us to move from glory to glory? It means that as we suffer with him, we enter more and more into this right-hand seat life. And the more we enter into this right-hand seat life, the greater glory that we begin to walk in. There's a weightiness to our words. It's not talking about gaining wealth in the world. It's talking about entering more and more into the power and the authority of the right-hand seat. Listen, I've seen Christians try to cast out devils for hours and hours and hours, and I've been there. I think the longest probably was 30 minutes. So I guess I'm bragging. It only took me 30 minutes on the worst one. But that's nonsense that it takes us 30 minutes to cast out a devil. Sometimes it takes us hours to cast out a devil. We're asking the devil his name. We want to know his history. We want to know how he got there. I don't want to know the devil's history. The reason we have to do that is because the weightiness that we're walking in is not strong enough to cause that devil to fall prostrate when we walk in, because we haven't entered into the level of glory that we need to really drive out principalities and powers. And so as we behold him, we move from weightiness to weightiness to weightiness, where eventually our word can raise the dead easily, where eventually we tell the devil, leave, and he leaves immediately. There's no discussion. You know, there's no debate. There's no trying to figure out why he's there, how he got there, what his name is, and if his cousins are with him. Nothing like that. It's the level of glory that we're walking in. Now, I'm not putting down us working in the kingdom of God when we have a low level of glory. We still need to be serving him, praise the Lord. And if it takes us 6 hours to cast a devil out, bless God, at least we cast it out. If we wouldn't have taken those 6 hours, the devil would still be in the person. So if it takes us 6 days, bless God, cast it out in Jesus' name. But at the same time, God wants us moving into more and more glory as a body, not as an individual, and as a body. In the end, as we come into the full stature of the Lord Jesus, the true sons of God will carry the same weight that Jesus Christ carried when he was here. All diseases and infirmities will obey them. All demons will leave immediately when we tell them to leave because of the weightiness. As a matter of fact, when we're going somewhere, the demons will be trembling in the places we are going to before we ever arrive. They will just hear a rumor. They will just hear a rumor. It reminds me of Carlos Santiago or something. I can't remember his name, but he was an evangelist in... it's close to Brazil. Jesus, I remember sometime. Carlos Santiago or something like that. Argentina. The revival was so powerful in Argentina that he was the one preaching in a big crowd of people, and nobody could see him or hear him. And the Spirit of God picked him up in the air, and he stood in the air, and he preached the gospel. Now, my wife's family knows him. He came and stayed at their house when he preached in Brazil. And when Carlos came to Brazil, they blanket the area in prayer for weeks before he shows up. And when he came, the whole time he was there, not a single person went to jail. Not a single person died. It was amazing. He was only there for a couple weeks, but they'd never seen anything like that. Nobody went to jail. Nobody died for 2 weeks. You're talking a big city. It was amazing. And the demons that were coming out of people. Now, this is not because the guy's special. You know, he's learned how to enter into the life of Christ, and he's carrying a weight, or was. I don't know. He's a human being. I don't even know where he's at now. I haven't heard of him in a while. If he's even alive, I don't know. But he was carrying a weight, the weight of Christ, with him where he went. And so God wants us going from glory to glory. And friend, if you think that's getting a bigger house and then a bigger house and then a nicer car and a nicer car and then more stuff and more stuff and more, what's the word for it? More, not acceptance with man, but favor with man, and more people like you and more people follow your ministry. Friend, if you think that, you're thoroughly deceived. And I said we because I thought that. I thought that, and to some extent, you know, I still had spiritual truth in me, but it was battling with the lies. And it's a lie. Going from glory to glory has nothing to do with you gaining earthly wealth, earthly treasures, or earthly favor. It has to do with you entering more and more into the likeness and to the weightiness of the person of Jesus Christ. Until we are fully walking in his life and not our own, and we begin to carry the weight that he carried. Now I close with this. Jesus said, "As I am in this world, so are you." He also told us, "These things you see me doing." Very specific, he told us. He wasn't talking. Everybody wants to change this because we're not doing it. He said, "What you see me doing, the works, raising the dead, casting out devils with a word, healing all manner of sickness and disease." Not a miracle in a crusade, but all manner of sickness and disease, easily going into a city and healing every sick person there. Paul did it. He went to an island, healed everybody. In cities Jesus went where they believed and where they were coming to hear, in his hometown, nothing happened. So that's a whole nother message. But there were places Jesus went where everybody, nobody was left out. Everybody was healed. Every devil was cast out. Why? Because of the weightiness of it, the level of his glory, who he is. And so Jesus said, "You're going to do greater things than these specific things I'm doing." What is greater than going in a city and everybody's healed and every devil is cast out? I believe with many suns arising, we'll be seeing this in many cities. And it's a demonstration of his power. And we think, well, ain't nothing like that going to happen. Everybody would just get saved. Oh, would they? So did they get saved when Jesus did it? Of course they did not. As a matter of fact, he came back later and rebuked them. Bethsaida, Chorazin, it would have been better. You know, it's going to be better for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for you. Had they seen the miracles, had they seen the power, had they seen the glory that you saw, they would have repented in dust and ashes. So miracles do not change people. Miracles have no effect on people's faith at all. It only fascinates them. The only thing that can really affect our faith is hearing the rhema of God, hearing the bread of heaven, hearing what God is saying. Amen. But God bless you today in Jesus' name. I pray in the name of Jesus that we would understand what it means to go from glory to glory. That we would understand what it means to be transformed into that very same likeness, to enter into more weight and more weight and more weight of our personage so that we can walk in the power of Jesus Christ, not so that we'll be special. That's one of the main reasons we can't do it, because we all want to be something special. We don't want to give up our own life. We want God to bless our life. We want God to make our life special. We want God to make our life acceptable to other people and to cause other people to look at us and think that we are something special. And that is, it is not God. It's demonic. It comes from flesh. It comes from a desire for self-exaltation, where God wants to put us in the highest seat, but the way up is always down. The way up is always down. The way up is not up, 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 up. The way up is down, and then God brings us up. Amen. We must decrease, but he must increase. And the highest seat is the humblest seat. It is the seat that is the most dependent on another. It is the seat that is most dependent on the Father, where many other seats are proud and prideful and independent and self-righteous. The seat of heaven, the right-hand seat we were created for, is 100% dependent, and it doesn't do anything that it doesn't see the Father do, doesn't say anything it doesn't hear the Father say. And it knows that in apart from it knows that of our own self we can do nothing, just as Jesus said. We are the vessel. We are the vessel of the Father in Jesus' name. So God bless you, and may he bring you from glory to glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.